All right, guys, welcome to the AMX Superstores Pro MX review show from round number 2. This is from Horsham. Myself and Darnell Official are going to be doing this old school tonight. I know we meant to be bringing these shows to you guys on Monday mornings, but the reality is traveling to Horsham from the Sunshine Coast is probably like traveling across the world. It is a very long way. And we decided to fly home Sunday night, so we lost all of Sunday night. And then most of Monday with work and everything in between. So we're bringing it to you. It'll be out Wednesday morning when you listen to this. We recorded it Tuesday. Thanks for the patience. We just want to give a massive shout out and thank you once again to AMX Superstores, who consistently supports our Pro MX race coverage over the years. It was great to see Rob and Shane and some of the OG Victorian crew who kicked off my relationship with AMX Superstores back in the day at Horsham. And as always, they are the nation's leading motorcycle retail specialist with over 30, I think they're up to 36 now, locations nationwide. South Australia, WA, Victoria, New South, Queensland, they have got stores everywhere. Go to their website, check out the locations. If you can't get in a store, get online to amxsuperstores.com.au with fast delivery. They have everything you need from parts, consumables, apparel, gear, boots, helmets, from road to adventure to off-road to motocross. You name it, they have it. I've said it that many times over the years, but you know what it is. AMX Superstores support us, so support those that support the sport, and that is AMX Superstores, so check them out on the website. Drop in store and visit your local team and go say hi to those guys at the Primex rounds because they're a bunch of legends. So thanks, Primex. Thanks to AMX Superstores for sponsoring the Primex content. Thanks, Dino Official, for coming on and getting this done late. And thank you for you guys for listening. And with that being said, let's get to the show.
Okay, kids, you're in for a real treat today.
He's Jimmy's brother, the guy, the singer.
Gator never been about that. Never been about playing no shit.
It'd be like looking over and seeing your ex-missus with someone else. Like, it's a...
There's a few of them going around the pits, I'm sure. That's happened
before. Do you know what I've been smacking lately?
Can we say it on the show?
Why weren't you more successful?
Well, you know, because I sucked, so...
All right, guys, as promised, this is the AMX Superstores Pro MX Round 2 review show, and scheduling, traveling across the entire universe to get to Horsham, it seemed like from Brisbane, like we explained in the intro. Show's a day late today. Me and Darnell are just going to run it old school, and we are going to welcome him right now. He is the Marketing and Design Coordinator at Monza Imports and Alpine Star. Darnell Official, what's going on, bud?
There's actually... Heaps going on. Literally found half an hour that I can sit down and talk with you and then get back to it. There's just so much going on. Congratulations, Joe. That's the first time ever you've got my title right.
I know the irony of it, right? It's because I didn't put any pressure on myself.
Yeah, well done.
It's such an impromptu thing tonight. Like I touched on it briefly in the intro, but to expand... I did not realize until like we booked our travel. I know I said in the first podcast of the season that we're going to do Sunday nights, but it really wasn't feasible for the Queensland crew that I run with ID Media Group for us to stay in Horsham Sunday night, because it's either you stay at night there, then you lose the whole of Monday coming back. So we decided we would fly home Sunday, but we did the math to get from Horsham to my house in Coolum. It took 10 hours. So it was a considerable journey. I mean, I left the track at 4:30 and I got into my front door at 2:30 a.m.
I left the track at 5:15 and got in the door at, I don't know, 10.
Yeah. It's quite a, it's the other way around. Normally when I lived in Melbourne, going to Horsham wasn't really a thing, right? So it's just, it's interesting doing these Vic flyaway rounds from the other side of the country. You have a whole new perspective on travel. And I'm looking forward to the last three rounds, I'm going to put it that way. But then it was the school holidays this week, so I got the kids, and there's just been a bit going on. So anyway, we're doing it tonight. Darnell's been busy, I've been busy, everyone's been busy, but here we are, a lot to talk about. We're going to keep it short and sweet tonight. Thanks to AMX Superstores, the OG crew were in town, Darnell. I saw Rob, Shane, and a lot of people were there from the OG Victorian stores.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good to see those guys. Obviously, you've had a long relationship with them. I've had a hell of a relationship with those guys over the years. So no, it's good to see Rob down there and Shane. Obviously, Shane's been an integral part of AMX for over a decade now. He started shortly after I did, and yeah, heads up, like, you know, there are heaps of different roles throughout the company. So it was cool to see Shane down there, and Rob and the rest of the crew from Melbourne. You know, I don't even know how many stores they have now. What is it? Do you have a count on it? Is it 36?
I do an average on my reads, but right now I'm saying over 30 because they just keep adding them. So I don't want to be specific in the number. But it's over 30, yeah,
it seems like every week there's a new one popping up.
Yeah, man, so it's nationwide too. You know, WA, SA, you know, Vic, Queensland, New South. It's a hell of a footprint nationwide for AMX Superstores. But it was cool to see. I saw Rob at dinner on Saturday night. Turned around, he was like, "Joe," I'm like, "Oh my god, Rob, I haven't seen you for a while." But yeah, it was good bringing out the OGs, the big dogs, to the races, and that's what's cool about it. You know, I say that in every show, but the AMX Superstores crew, you know, they go to the races and you get to sort of meet the local crews at each round for each state. And then obviously the Vic crew is what everyone had to deal with there on the weekend, which was cool. But all right, Donnell, let's get into it. Horsham, we haven't been back there since 2017 for MX Nationals, Pro Motocross. It didn't disappoint, man. The racing was on another level, honestly. I haven't seen racing like that in a long time, it seems like.
Yeah, and I think that was it. Obviously, take out MX2 because Brody Connolly was just gone. But yeah, that first MX1 moto, the first MX3 moto, Jed Alsop and Kobe Hunter, so that literally came down to the last lap and it was intense.
It was the same moto too, man. Like Deacon Pace getting the win and him and Kingsford going at it to the very last jump, you know?
Yeah. It didn't look like a lot of fun out there. That's not what I would say Horsham looked like. But it raced pretty well.
It was racy, hey. It was interesting. I don't know your thoughts. When I saw the track, I was like, oh boy, it is not deep enough. And, you know, basically you could see there were kind of ledges, pockets, whatever you want to call it, of that hard pack, like rock that was coming up from the bottom. And that was pretty much right away, first group of practice and qualifying. And I was like, this is going to be a really rough day if this track goes away now. But we got lucky with the weather, I think, that it's been so dry up there, you could see all around. Pretty much from the Melbourne Airport drive to the track, there's nothing but like yellow grass, you know? But man, it stayed overcast all day. It didn't burn through. And I think that's what saved the track. They put a little bit of water down at lunchtime and it was surprisingly really racy and you could move around. The ruts weren't your typical Horsham slot car ruts. Like the riders could move around and make moves. I think that's what made the difference.
Yeah, I mean, once I tore through, like probably the first practice session, so MX2 and even into a little bit of MX3, it was very sloppy on top. And that Horsham soil was so sticky. So once I got through that, you get to that hard base pretty quickly. And we saw that, like, speaking to a few guys over the last couple of days and even Sunday afternoon, they said it got pretty icy out there, just how slick and like blue groove it got.
Well, dude, you could see that, right? Like that, you know, that inside roller after the finish tabletops before you went onto like the start straight area.
Like, yeah.
The best guys in Australia, some of the best riders in the world, they were tiptoeing over that thing and skidding and nearly stalling, foot dabbing. Like you could see how visibly it was blue groove, but then it had water and rubber on it. Like it was a really weird combination.
Mm. Yeah, it raced well, so. We go to what's Gilman sand? It's like a sand base, isn't it? Next,
yeah, so, sand. It's a loamy round with a. It's got a hard base. It depending on how much rain they get, it's either kind of you know, a little choppy and you can move around, or if it rains a lot, which can happen over there, it gets a little more, you know, slot car rutty in the turns. But Gilman's normally good racing. Like, I'm excited for the next few rounds. Maitland's good racing. You know, obviously Murray Bridge going back there is going to be just epic. It's exciting, man. It's exciting. I think the championship's in a really good place. And the action we saw on the weekend, like, it was a really, you know, entertaining round. Man, I lost my voice pretty much on the mic. Like, those races, you know, you said 250s were a little bit more reserved. Connolly kind of made it boring. But, man, MX1 and MX3 were just on another level.
Yeah. Do you want to start with MX1? Let's start at the top, really. First moto, I think that gave it more questions than answers.
Yeah, man. It was, Crawford, I watched Crawford do his last lap of Super Pole, and he got through about 10 seconds before the flag came out. So he pretty much had the track to himself. And I watched him do that last lap, and he was like 0.4 off of Jed. It wasn't enough. But, man, he looked so good on that lap. And I kind of watched that, and I was like, okay, I think today is going to be his day. But Jed looked so strong in that first one. But, man, Crawford, obviously Webster went down. Was it the first one Webster went down? It was, hey.
Yeah, Webster went down, and then Clout went down with about a minute and a half ago.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I was kind of saying if Webster's the real deal, he's got to do it this weekend at Horsham in the hard pack. And that, to me, is 50-50, 50% Webby, 50% the bike in those conditions. And again, not talking bad on the team, the crew, it's just the reality that Honda can be a tad unpredictable in the hard pack, and we've seen it over the years. And it wasn't fixed for him or them. You know, you could see the way Wilson Todd was riding, he did not look comfortable all day. I don't know if that's bike or personal preference, but he was off the pace. Considering we expect him to be winning races or challenging, right? But yeah, for Webster, he was there and he went down, I think, about, I think we were 8 minutes in, I think, where we went down from memory commentating. And then you go, okay, that's that. And then it was Cloudy's moto. And man, Cloudy looks so good. And
yeah, he had a moment about halfway through, though. He sort of just, you can see it on the broadcast. It's like perfectly greases it down. I wouldn't say perfectly greases. If it was about a half a foot shorter, I reckon he was going over the bars over that, what's that, jump five out the back, you know, yeah. The big, like,
oh, no. I literally, because obviously I was in that tower in the middle of the track commentating, and I don't know if you heard me, but man, I was like, oh, and he just saved it. That was before he made into the lead, because he regrouped and then made it into the lead, I think, a lap later or something.
That battle between him and Nathan was really good to watch. Nathan did call me this afternoon just to warm me up a little bit. It was good moto for both of them. I think Cloudy showed.
Last year's Alps guy beating this year's Alps guy, hey?
yeah, that's nice.
Let's not go there.
Let's not go there. But no, it's good. You know, I think it showed everyone that, like, those two can run that pace up front.
I mean, look, Clout, he looked really confident and composed. Nato, I mean, look, Cloudy, he should have won that moto. Two laps, I think it was 2.5 laps to go. He would have got two laps to go. He was halfway through that lap. He got two laps to go. I watched the whole thing. It doesn't make any sense. It's the same line he did every single lap. It just seemed like it stood him up in the turn and just threw him off the top of that little rut there. And then, yeah, I think he blew his goggles off in the crash. Like, he didn't go down super fast, but he went straight to his head. It was weird. So he sacrificed a bunch of spots, ended up fifth. And then from there, like, Nato and Jed had been kind of glued to each other, but within a few bite lengths, and Nato just was not going to give that up at that point.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Jed Beaton's worst finish this year is the second, I think, at this point. Did he go 2-2?
He went 2-2-1. He's 2-2-2-1.
Not a bad way to start the year.
No, that's a solid start to the season.
And that's, you know, solid points, which is, Jed's game. Just be consistent. You know, he's got a 5-point lead now over Webby in the championship. And, you know, go to Gilman where it's that sandy soil that lends to Jed's skill set. So I think everyone else needs to get a handle on Jed now before he runs away with this. I know it's only been 2 rounds, but so far he's been pretty good.
Do you think we're going to see that, though? I don't know if that's Jed's mission. I don't think that's his MO, honestly. Watching him last year and this year, I don't know if he's going to be a Ferris that just goes perfect season.
I'm not saying this year,
but in general, do you? Because we've never seen him do that. I'm not saying he couldn't do that, but it just doesn't seem how he's programmed.
No, I think he's programmed to just be consistent, and that's where they need to get a handle on it. You know, if these guys are going to have inconsistent motors all the time, he's just going to be banking those, you know, consistent like podium spots, you know, first, second, third, which you know he can do for the rest of the year. Like, that's where, you know, it might not look like he's running away with it, but he'll just keep banking more and more and more points and just sort of slowly increase that lead, you know.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, if Webby is somewhat inconsistent at times and different riders come and go with the podiums, and yeah, he's going second, first, third. Yeah, that's where the aggregate adds up, right? But no, I think Nato looked incredibly good in Moto. He looked really good in Moto 2, but Jed, you could see in Moto 2, he got to the front a lot faster than he did in Moto 1, and he had track position early, and he had figured the track out.
Terrible.
His start was not good, man, but I watched him pass. I think he was 5th or 6th on lap 1. And then within this, I was commentating, and I was just like, I think he passed like 3 guys in one section, and we're not talking, you know, average guys. Like, it was like Gibbs and Clout and Dean. No, Dean was in the lead before he went down, but I think he passed Webby as well, maybe. I can't remember if he was in second when Dean went down, but man, he just ate up those guys in front of him.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know what to think after this round. You know, what I do think is guys are going to, that podium is just going to switch it round to round now. If you think, you know, Cloudy missed the podium, but obviously showed he can win. Gibbsy was on the podium.
Dude, how good did Gibbsy look in that last moto?
The second moto.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, really good.
Really good. Like, I was, again, commentating, I was hyped. I was like, Gibbsy, he wasn't just in third. Like, he was coming. He was catching those guys.
Yeah. So, did he go? He must have gone 5-3.
He did. He went 5-3.
Yeah. 5-3 third overall. That's good.
Man, considering, like, where he's at, that was really good. I could not believe, like, he didn't catch them in the end. I think Jed obviously had the fastest lap of the race, but there was a few sets of laps in about 20 minutes or so, 15 to 20 minutes, where Gibbsy was visibly catching Nato, and Nato was sort of shadowing Jed in that gap. Impressive stuff, man, because he's a vet, and let's be real, he's the only vet we've seen this year with that sprint speed. I would even say Ferris, because he's had that speed for a couple laps, but it's not been there.
Ferris went down in the second moto. While leading.
Yeah. And I guess he doesn't, I'm kind of looking at Ferris. I've seen him race 4 times this year now, because we're obviously at the Sunny States and we're at Prime X. And it seems weird to me, man, but like, that's the same bike as last year and he's running the same settings, and it just does not look anything like what he had going on last year, does it?
No, I don't know if it's the same settings or not.
Like, obviously, it's not exactly the same settings, but it's
similar. Like, you'd assume they wouldn't have changed much from, you know, what is privateer, let's call it a privateer setup last year.
Yeah, privateer in brackets, but yes.
Yeah. I don't know. The one that's standing out to me is Wilson Todd hasn't had he's 5th in points now, but he hasn't had a Wilson Todd ride yet, you know. Like, he hasn't really been up front.
No, he hasn't. I mean, his starts were good at round one, but he did not have starts this weekend at Horsham. He did not have track position. He was just floating around that kind of 7th, 8th spot.
Sure, he whole shot too.
Did he? Oh, no, he did Hoshi Omoto too. Yeah, he definitely did. All right, I'll take that back. I'm not sure, man. I looking at him ride, he looked, he just looked not himself. Like he wasn't charging like Wilson's known to. No one looked good on that track, though, let's be real.
Yeah.
To a degree, like even Nato and Jed, like I think that's why I'm surprised, because the tall riders seem to do really well. I mean, Cloudy being small, it didn't seem to work in his favor in Moto 2. He hurt his back, and if you watch Cloudy ride, he sits down a lot more than those guys, and in that chop, it was really hurting him with as far as getting slung out of the seat, you know?
Yeah, I didn't know the back thing at the time, because I thought, yeah, the bike looked really stiff, but it was just him. He just stiffened up in that second one. So to get through, you know, with that, let's say, get some valuable points and move forward, I think the biggest thing is he showed everyone, like everyone knows how fast Cloud is, but it doesn't matter if that bike's blue or green, he's still going to be that fast. So
I mean, he'll just keep building. He was in the battle all day, and whether, you know, this year is his year to win the championship, who knows, but he's certainly putting the case forward that once he, you know, the new, all new bike, new team, new crew chief, team manager, you know, everything, right? So they're going to figure it out. I think you're going to see Cloudy get some moto wins soon, and that might get the ball rolling, but it's like how long before that ball gets rolling for Jed to keep rolling is going to be the question. But, you know, Jed looked really good in moto too. Like you said, red plate now. He can do this every weekend, I feel, now with the team he's on and the bike. So it's going to be really interesting to see Crawford. Excuse me. Man, again, solid. He's arrived. And, you know, Naito and Jed have been battling each other for the best part of 10 years between MX3, MX2, before they both went to Europe at different times. But they've been around each other. So it was really nostalgic for me commentating those two battling, because I remember commentating those two battling back in 15 and 14 and 16, you know.
Yeah, well, I think Nathan's pretty confident right now after the weekend he had. And obviously Jed would be as well now, carrying that point, so he's got the red plate. Yeah, I just don't know if we see that plate switch. especially after Gilman, you know. I feel like we're really going to have a year where we're not going to know until we know with everyone, you know.
Yeah.
But Jed, what we've seen so far, it's hard to go past Jed.
I think if Nathan keeps him in contact before the final three in Queensland, and he's winning races and he's relevant, you could see a switch then. And when they get to those tracks that Nathan really knows, like he knows Toowoomba, he knows QMP, he knows MX1, you know, that could be the...
He's never lost a motor at QMP. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
Hasn't lost a motor there.
Well, that bodes well for him in the back end of the season, right? But we'll see where it goes, man. But yeah, you know, Horsham, MX1, so you got Beaton, Crawford, Gibbs, podium. Webster, 4. Cloudy, 5. Ferris, 6. You know, Ferris, I don't know, man. Like, I think he in his interviews, you heard him, he was like, no excuses. I just need to be better. I need to be faster. These guys, the young guys have the intensity now, and you can maybe see that changing of the guard. I don't want to say it too soon. I've been wrong before, but it's not like last year, and the bike isn't allowing him to do what he wants to do right now. I can see that, but he's on the wrong end of the age bracket to be trying to figure things out against Beaton and those guys, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know what to think about Dean right now, because... Every time we seem to write him off, he comes out and wins a championship. So
I'm certainly not writing him off. That's the thing with Dean. You can never count him out, and he is such a champion and such a smart rider. Like, he could go find some settings this week testing it and then rock up to Gilman and just be a smoke show. It could be game over. So, you know, I think I'm so used to Dean doing Dean, which is 10 minutes in, he clicks into overdrive once he figures out the track, and it's catch you later. And I've been saying that all season now, and it's not there yet. But who knows? Hopefully he figures it out. I'm not writing him off. Metcalf, 7th. Man, Meddy looked racy, didn't he?
He looked good. He looked really good. The old dog just getting out there and doing what he needs to do. It would be super cool to see him winning Gilman or Murray Bridge. Just top off this year, you know. And we've seen him do it in the past where he can run that speed out there, you know, on those tracks.
Well, I talked to him before Moto 2 because he was all the way on the outside. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was weird.
No, well, I went up to him, I'm like, mate, why? Like, I'm joking around. I'm like, why are you starting in Adelaide, Matty? I'm like, you're so far away. You might as well be in the pits, you know? He's like, man, he's like, we went out to choose the gate and like Dean and those guys were in front of me and they were taking their time. And then he's like, all the young guys behind him, they just rushed the gate and picked all the gates. And he was talking to the officials about it. He wasn't pissed. No, Matty's just super chill. But he's like, so I was just like, oh, whatever, man, I'm just going to go start out here. And it was just funny the way he's just such a legend. But and then he ripped a start and I don't think I've seen Matty look like that for at least a year where, yeah, he was in sixth and seventh, but he looked racy. He looked like he could run with those guys, which was really encouraging.
Yeah, I think Matty on a cowie, I think it's a good mix. That's a break up. I know if whether it was on that, what was the team he rode for out here?
I think he rode for Factory. He rode for the Troy Carroll cowie team in 2016. I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Or 17.
Weird husky. Remember that weird Senate husky team that was around for like four rounds?
Oh, the SD3 thing?
Oh, no. Senate was different. That was William Senate. Anyway, his PC days, like Medi on a green light. Makes sense.
Synonymous with 2000s Medi. Wilson Todd, we talked about him. Waters, same deal as, I don't know, man. He's thereabouts, but he's not challenging for the top five anymore, it doesn't seem, although he had some good rides at Wonthaggi, but he was just circulating today in the top 10, sorry, on the weekend. Zach Watson, 10, great ride for Zach on that privateer Rising Husky. Joel Evans, again, awesome ride for Joel, 11th overall. He was racy. He actually joked he just came back from Thailand racing over there, and he said racing that crazy high pack in Thailand really helped him to be ready for this at Horsham. Levi Rogers on that beta, he was 13th. A good second moto for Levi. He was 11th in Moto 2. It was pretty impressive. O'Guinness.
Manufacturer out there.
Sorry?
It's good to see another manufacturer out there with beta.
It is, man. It is. We're obviously doing some work with those guys with the content side of things. And yeah, man, it's an interesting behind the scenes. It's a really interesting development with that platform, with that program. And you've got Europe and America and Australia, and it might not be like a Factory Yamaha or whatever, but they all talk and share info. It's really interesting behind the scenes how that program's developing, and them bikes are really cool, man.
Yeah. No, I think it's a cool program. I wonder when we see Triumph come in over here, if we do.
Been hearing rumors about Supercross, have you?
No.
Okay, well, you would probably know more than I in your professional dealings, but I heard some things. I don't know how true they are.
I know there's a bike sitting in Dandenong right now.
I saw that before, yeah, in PS Dandenong, hey.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when they land here. O'Guinness was pretty impressive, man. Vic Privateer, 13th. Dylan Wood back from the States, 14th. Holroyd 15th, and I reckon we'll wrap MX1 there, man. MX2, not much to be said, honestly. Connolly, if
one by 21 seconds.
If Wonthaggi wasn't enough of a statement, and you go, oh, he trains there, and he's based there, and the team, and Ross, and this and that, man, game over for Horsham. Like, he was on another level.
Yeah, especially in that first one. I know there was a pile up in there at the start. I think, what was it? Tukas went into Barham went into Mather off that roller, like just after the start, which put Mather out of the moto and made Barham look like Mike Metzger for the rest of the race.
There was a few bullet heads getting around on the weekend, hey?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think that might have aided it. So I think. I remember Noah riding, like Fergo was riding around with no goggles on.
Yeah, Ferguson went down. I don't know what happened to him in Moto 1, but he was a long ways back. I mean, it shows in the overall. He was eighth overall, so he only got 4 points in Moto1, which is not even in the top 10, I don't think.
The one that stood out to me was Bailey Malkiewicz. That's a standout in 250s for that race.
Two people surprised me, Malkiewicz and Yokoyama.
Haruki got fourth overall.
Dude, I will start with Haruki. I stopped him in the pits and I was like, Haruki. He's like, yeah. I'm like, Haruki's back. I'm like, where did that come from? He's like, oh, I don't know, man. He's like, it's just like Japan out here. It's the hard pack. And I'm like, yeah, man. But I'm like, that's a big jump from where you've been. And he's like, yeah, found some settings with the bike and I'm happy and he's not injured anymore.
From a Kawi to a Honda. So I wonder how much support he's getting out of, like, because we all knew he got, like, a fair bit of support out of Kawi when he was there. I wonder how much he's getting helped out by Japanese Honda.
Well, he's factory 450 Honda in Japan because he was battling with Jay Wilson.
Yeah,
on the weekend, apparently him and Jay were going at it. So you got to think...
450 is a lot of bike for a little guy.
I know, right? But, I mean, look, man, factory Japan Honda, you got to think they can make that bike anything they need it to be. But, yeah, that's what he said to me. He's like, man, it's just like Japan, hard pack, skatey. I love it. He's like, this is perfect for me. And I'm like, okay.
You ain't going to get that in Gilman.
No.
You ain't going to get that in Bow Bridge.
Dude, he looked good, though, didn't he? It was nice to see. But, yeah, dude, Malkiewicz, I mean, look, he won the 2017 Junior Worlds there. He has great memories there.
When he's in the shoots, I'm like, so the last time he rode here, you won a world title. He's like, yeah, we'll see how we go. And talking to him after that race, so he helped Bailey out a little bit. Talking to him, he's like, he goes, my bike is slower than everyone else's. And I'm thinking, is it slower or is he just used to riding a 450 all the time?
It's slower, man. He's got a privateer engine. Like, the Witten brothers are helping him out a lot with bikes and motors and speaking to those guys, it is a privateer engine. But he's also 90 something kilos. He's 6'5", it seems like.
Is he the guy? He would be the guy. Say if one of these teams drops a rider, at Gilman, for the year, from an injury or something along those lines. Is Malkiewicz, surely he would be the first pick as like a fill in?
You got to think so. I think anyone helping him would gladly move aside for him to get a factory shot again. I mean, he proved on the weekend he did throw away a podium in that last moto. He went down on the second lap, I think, at the bottom of the hill. Unfortunate, but man, he came back through. But I keep saying it. He needs to do a full season. He needs to not get injured. He needs to just have every gate drop and every finish. And I think if he does that, he's going to land on a factory team next year and hopefully rebuild his career, because he clearly, you could see in Moto1 and Moto2, he's got it there. He can do it. I mean, he's a world champion, for goodness sake, But it was good to see. It was funny, right? Because obviously the track was heavy for MX2. Obviously, they're always the first practice qualifier. And he went straight to the pits, put a paddle tire on, and just sat there. And I went up to him, I'm like, let's go. Like, you going out? He's like, no, man, I know this place, it's fine. And then he's still sitting there a few minutes later. And I'm like, are you just waiting for the green flag? He's like, yeah, I'm just going to go out when the green flag goes up. And literally, green flag came up, rode out of the pits, put a warm up lap in, straight into a heater. I think he qualified like fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
The track is exact. I mean, to be fair, man, that track, I haven't ridden this since 2016. I did a school there a few times and it's exactly the same. So that track is one of those tracks that's pretty cut in. They don't make a lot of changes because of the way the watering and the infield, like, that's the track you've got. It's a very consistent track, right?
Yeah, that was one point I meant to bring up when we were talking about MX1. There's the whoop section in the middle of the track. Let's call it a whoop section. Like, six or seven really close to the other rollers. I'd call them whoops.
They're whoops. Because the rollers on the other side of rollers, they're whoops in the middle.
Yeah, and you can definitely tell the supercross guys hitting them versus the motocross guys.
Jed was probably one of the few that surprised me. He did not look that good through there. And then, like, Cloud and Nato were just blitzing them.
They were blitzing them like super whoops, where, like, Jed and Webby were more, triple through them.
Yeah, they were trying to sort of keep the rear wheel down a lot more and driving and dropping in.
This is the coolest thing ever. In our latest Alps video that just went out, Brody Connolly wheeling through that section.
Yeah, I saw that before. That was cool.
Ridiculous.
He was so fast through there. But so Connolly gets the overall. Reese Budd, a very solid day, second overall. I'm stoked for Reese. Really good day, man. Hats off to him. He was just solid all day. Third in Moto 1. I think he was fourth or fifth in Moto 2. And Byron Dennis, same deal. Really strong day for Byron. I think he was not top three. I think he was top five both motos, but that was enough for his first MX2 career podium, which is, you know, again, him as a rookie, he is going to figure this out very quickly. I think you're looking at your MX2 champion in 2025 personally right now.
Yeah, I mean, he third in Moto 1 at Wontagi. Obviously had a bike issue on Moto 2, and now he's just consistent results. Where is he in the point standing? He'll be a fair way down, I'd assume.
Yeah, that DNF in Moto 1 definitely wouldn't have helped him at Wani, or Moto 2, sorry. But third overall, man, again, he doesn't need to win the points this year. I think he just needs to win a race or two and get podiums. Like, he's going to learn so much. So he's not out of it then.
No, I mean, Connolly's already got 26 points over second place.
Yeah, look, I hate to say it, but I think it's pretty well done unless he has an injury or something. I think it's going to be Connolly's year.
Yeah, like, he's 26 over Noah.
I think then, Noah's the only one that can match him on speed right now, but Noah, unfortunately...
No, Kingsford. If you get Kingsford in the right mood, I think he can do it.
Yeah, consistently, though. I think Noah's, like, he matched Connolly in that second moto, you know? But, you know, Noah, unfortunately, is a little more inconsistent than Brody, it seems, at the moment. Maybe he figures that out. He's certainly getting better than he was, but it's not quite there yet, you know? So Yokoyama 4 overall, Malkovich 5 overall. Meneer was solid. He had some good rides in the top 5 for 7th overall, which again I think is what he needs.
Quiet season.
I think it's what he needs, dude, after the injuries and the ups and downs, you know?
Yeah, I think that arm was pretty toasted.
Dude, I doubt he's 100%, let's put it that way.
I think you said he's feeling about 85%.
Yeah, like he put his humerus out his arm, man. That was brutal. So Ferguson 8 overall, it was great second moto for Ferguson, but yeah, that first moto really hurt him. KJ, man, Barham, that second moto was epic. Was he 5th, I think?
Yeah, 5th.
Really solid. I mean, Dennis got him on the last lap or two, but he was in that lead battle. He was impressive. Actually sat next to his mum and dad on the flight home. They're amazing people.
Quinn are the best.
They really are. But yeah, he rode great, man. I mean, you know, hard pack ruts, that's KJ's territory. But considering the youngsters and the talent he's racing, that was really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we haven't seen from KJ yet this year is a start, which was he was notorious for his starts. I haven't seen one yet, but they will come. It was good. For him to chart him and who was with him, who went through with him, Campbell Williams, first motor. Those two, I reckon they came from like 28th, 29th and come through to 10th and 11th.
Campbell was good, man. Campbell was impressive as well. Campbell was
better than Wontagi.
Oh, hell yeah. 10th overall. Like, he had a really quiet but consistent day. He did 10 motor scores with points. So I can't remember what that is in positions, but, good ride for Williams. Now, Kingsford was 9th overall. I think he crashed in the first turn in Moto 1.
Crashed in the first moto.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 3rd in Moto 2, he's got the speed. He does. Not an issue.
It's there. He's going to figure it out. Cosford, it's kind of expecting more out of Cosford so far this year. 11th overall. He just doesn't seem to.
He had a crash.
He's had some crashes. He's not had the starts. But, dude, Benny Novak, how was Novak's Moto 1?
Yeah, he was running like 5th, 3rd or 4th.
Yeah, he was up front for a long time. Hats off to him. 12th overall. Grainer Daish, he impressed me as well. He was 13th overall. Matha had, I think, a good first moto from him. No, DNF Moto 1. Definitely did
DNF
a good
one. Moto 1. He's, bent the Taco, the front disc.
That's right. He was riding good before that. Notable mentions, Fitzpatrick, 16th overall, but man, he had a killer first moto, full privateer, doing the privateer deal out of Queensland. Unfortunately, I think that bike had some issues, but he was, I think he was 9th in Moto One, like solid ride. All right, Brock Flynn, notable mention, biggest crash of the day through the whoops. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I've got his helmet sitting on my desk.
Mate.
Good. It didn't
show. I think, you know, not a sponsor of the show, but Alpine Stars Protects is very relevant to that crash.
Yeah, yeah, no. I don't know how he got back up, to be honest. I wouldn't have got up.
He rode the bars about halfway through the rollers and ejecto-cetoed, scorpioned straight to his head, and the bike kind of followed him in. And he goes straight back up. And I was like, oh, he's going to, you know, you get up, but you're knocked out and you kind of fall back down. He didn't do that. He just got up.
No, he came and seen me after the race. And he goes, I might get you to take this. I'm like, yep, no worries. So handed me his helmet. And yeah, it well and truly did what it needed to do. And yeah, I said, like, he seemed unfazed by it. You know,
no, these youngsters are tough, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Who else? MX2. Reed Taylor, better second moto. It's probably the best moto we've seen from him all year.
Yeah, 10th, man. 10th in Moto 2. He's, I don't know, I think the sprint speed and the starts and everything we're used to seeing from him, I don't know if it was a hangover from Supercross. I don't know if he's figuring out the Cowie in MX2 compared to the KDM and the Huskies he used to ride, but it's not been the same. But that was something to build from.
Yeah, it's a better result.
All right, guys. AMX Superstores Primex review show. Let's move it along to MX3. MX3 was a barn burner. MX3 was a barn burner. The racing was next level. Allsop, you know, didn't get a moto win, but he was very consistent when it counted down the stretch, and that's what you got to be in MX3. And we were on the flight home with those guys. I was chatting to him and his dad, and man,
that's another great family,
great people. Had a lot of time for Ben over the years. His dad, like, he's just a great dude that we get on with. But on a racing level for Jet, he came through in that second moto, didn't get the start, and was pissed off the moto one, but he salvaged moto two. And that's what gets the job done. And I think the maturity shining through there.
Yeah, obviously, like, I have a lot to do with Jet. And talking to him, you know, for most of the day, like most times out through the day. And then spoke to him again yesterday. He was stoked to get the overall. Pissed he didn't get the moto, like, to have a moto win with it. Obviously, he's had moto. He got a moto win last year. So he just showed, you know, I went and spoke to him after the first moto, and he was pissed. A lapper did get in between him and Hantus, which sort of set up that finish. I don't know if he would have got Hantus in the end, because Hantus has just been ripping all year. But you know, sort of, he sat there and he goes, oh, well, 2-1 beats 1-2, so I'm just going to go and win the next moto and I get the overall. So he was already, you know, all right, he was pissed, but he moved on and just went, okay, this is what I've got to do to get this job done. So I think for Jetty, he's been really mature, which is great to see. Obviously, he's not, he's still pretty young, so he's got time, but if he can, you know, stay healthy, he's got the speed to win this thing.
He does, man. He's come back from some big injuries and he's 17 foot tall now. You can see his body's going through some changes. But it was good to see. I was stoked for him. It was just a really feel-good day in MX3. Like, Deacon Pace, you know, we are involved with those guys with content and different things, and seeing the team, you know, as you do when you work with a team on any level, you see it from the inside, not just from the outside. And, you know, that program between, you know, Shane Fretwell, the owner, you know, Deacon and his family from WA, and you got Josh Robinson, who's his mechanic and engine builder. And it's just like a really feel good story. Like, I don't know if you saw the review video we did for those guys, but I was so stoked on it. It was like captured that moment with the champagne and in the tent under the truck. And it means a lot, so much, these guys, when everyone's trying so hard. And I didn't think he was going to get that second moto. His fitness has been a little bit of a question so far this year. And he just, every time Kingsford got him, he just would launch that finish jump to the flat, blow his hands off the bars almost. Like, he was just not giving up.
Yeah, I mean, that was for Kingsford, that was a big swing too, because if Kingsford gets that moto win, I think that knocked him off.
Kingsford gets the moto win, he gets second overall.
Was it second overall?
He gets second overall, 1 point behind Jet, and if he doesn't get the win, he gets fourth overall. So it was a big swing for Kingsford.
Because there was one point where he was leading. I think Jet was in fourth because Jet got cannon late in the race.
Well, the overall so points is 42 Allsop, 40 pace, 39 Handis, 38 Kingsford. So it was all to play for.
Yeah, I mean, with Jet getting cannon late, that put him up to, 20 points where he was 18, and then Kingsford would have been 25. Like, it would have been a big point swing. It was good to see Jake Cannon out there for two motos this week.
Yeah, he was out for two motos, and I was talking to his dad in the first moto. You know, they didn't even know he had broken his scaphoid in that supercross crash until he started riding again. Then they had to get it fixed. I don't know if they got surgery, I can't remember, but he was off the bike for a long time, from pretty much November until round one. So you can just see, man, he's got the speed, he's got the skills, he's got the bike, but his grip strength, his ability to do a moto is not there right now.
Yeah, and I mean, in this class, you need to be, I think more than ever this year, you need to be consistent in that class, because you look at that top six, I was separated by 6 points.
Yeah, and that's what I keep talking. You know, I talk to Jet, I talk to the Paces, like people that we are close with, we hang out with, whatever. And I'm like, man, Josh Robinson actually told me he's got this statistic where I think in the last few years at MX3, he's done the overall math. And he's like, if you finish seventh overall at every round, it would put you on the championship podium at the end of the year.
Yeah, it was cool to see Robbo running there with Deacon too. There was a big hug, lift off the ground, a lot of yelling and screaming.
Well, so, Deacon lives with them, with Josh and his wife, yeah. I think. So it's a real, like I said, between, Shane Fretwell, the owner of the dealership at Moto One, and then Josh and the Deacon Pace family, like, it is a team effort, it's cool to see. But yeah, for Cannon, if Cannon can start winning out when he gets back to health, he may have a shot at this, but it's quickly.
Yeah, he's too far out of it, dude. He's got 36 points and Hansis is on 82. Like, that's a big gap.
It's a big swing, right?
Yeah.
Kobe Drew was six overall. Drew had a solid day. A lot of the WBR Yamahas together at times. It's hard to tell who's who, especially off the start.
I think it's a really cool look that they all go out in the same stuff.
No, I dig it. It looks great. I wouldn't even say that if it wasn't Alpine. It's like, just because it's Alpine style, like, it looks really legit and it looks like a real team vibe. I like how Honda does that. I like how, CDR does it. The WBR guys, I know we talked about this after round one, but it just seems right having them back in MX3 like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially because they got the four guys out there too. It's a lot of bikes.
A lot of bikes, man. A lot of bikes.
That's a big effort, That's,
they do it because they love it, man.
The four bikes, riders, four mechanics, like, that's a lot of gear. That's a lot of work to put into an effort like that. And then to have really, like, when you look at the championship points, what are they? They're 1, 2, and 4 in the championship now. Obviously, Seth Birchall, that was his first, he didn't race round one, and banked some solid points this weekend. But yeah, they've got, arguably four of, let's say, the top six on speed.
No, they do. I forgot Birchall didn't do round one. That's why it was cool to see him back. But man, the Witten brothers, they love it, man. It's great to see. Now, Birchall 7 overall. Jack Devison, I don't know anything about him. I don't want to be rude to him or the family. I just don't. Do you know anything about this kid?
No, nothing recent. 6 in points.
Yeah, and he rips. Like, he was top five at some of the motos. He didn't finish top five, but he was 8th overall. And if anyone knows anything about him, let me know. I need to go find him in the pits or something because I feel bad. Or if he listens to the show, or someone shoot me a DM because impressive ride. And then this other dude, Max Compton, 253. I don't know anything about him. He's got a cool name.
And a glittery jersey print on. I don't know that much.
Yeah, so straight out of NWA, Compton. Good for him. 9th overall. Shackleton, rough day. Didn't really get a flow and have the best results. Bad starts. 10th overall. Yeah, man, we could go on with MX3, but that's the top 10. And I think we said we keep it short and sweet, Darnell, because you've been working some crazy hours. And there's been a bit going on this week, man. So this has been the AMX Superstores ProMX review show from round 2 at Horsham. Whilst I have you guys, we launched the Vic MX recap show on the network for the first round of juniors the other week. It's been really positively received. So we just want to thank everyone for that listening. And again, Donna, we've been doing this for many years, but thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah, thank you. It's oh, I'm so tired, I can't even think.
I know, I'm trying to get you off because I'm like, I can tell how tired you are.
Yeah, I don't cope well with
Well, you were sick, dude. Well. You were really sick at the track. You didn't mention that part either.
Yeah, no. So
food poisoning or whatever you had.
Here's one for everyone at home. Saturday night, went out for dinner with the Amalube team and went back to my room and laid there for about what felt like 15 minutes and then eyes open and had my head buried in a toilet for 2 hours, turned up to the track and, you know, my reputation precedes me and everyone assumes that I'm hungover. I'm like, no, I'm very, very sick.
So, yeah, but you look like, I don't hate to say this, but you look like crap on Saturday, man. You didn't look well.
I was pale and I had stomach on Saturday. Like Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Dude, there was heaps going on. Like, you were sick. Trent looked like he had the Black Death or something. Like, he was in the media tent shivering and with 10 jackets on.
Yeah, the difference is I sold it on. He just sat there like a pussy.
Oh, damn. No, I wanted no part of being around you guys after that. I'm like, get me away from this.
Yeah. So that was a whole lot of fun. So I don't think I'm still fully recovered from that. So...
Yeah, you sound like you need it. You need an early night, mate, so let's let you go do that. Once again, it's been the AMX Superstores Pro AMX review show from round 2 at Horsham, and we'll be back in a few weeks for Gilman. I'm excited to go to Gilman, Darnell. I think we need to go race some go-karts.
I'm keen for some South Australian fun.
Nah, it's hell of a time. I'll talk to Tram. We need to organise that like last year because that was really fun.
Let's do it on Saturday night. I can't do Friday night.
Yeah, I have to go Friday night because the Queensland thing is just not possible to travel across the world.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying like go-kart on the Saturday night. We don't need a go-kart Friday, you know.
True. I might do both, so I'm ready because you're ripping a go-kart, so I need an advantage. But
that's right, and you know it.
Oh, it is right. Yeah, it is right. Especially,
I don't care how dark or sketchy the track is.
No, that's the problem. Like, ghetto go-karts and Darnell go together like really well, and it's scary. Anyway, like I said, guys, AMX Superstores, thanks to them. Thanks for listening. Darnell, thanks for coming on and getting this one done. And we will see you all at Gilman.
Peace.